Got too many things to turn on up here. Don't kill him. Don't kill him. Filicide. An act that is abhorrent. It's the killing of your own child. And I can say without hesitation that God is never pleased with the killing of your own child. That is inside the womb or outside the womb. It may seem strange that God's word, or I would feel a need to address this, or God would need to address this, because doesn't it even seem that the natural world in and of itself says this is not good. This is not right. This is not healthy. This is something that should not be done. The safest place for a child should be around its own mother or father. But we live in a broken world. The home is not a safe place for every child. The womb is not a safe place for every child. You may remember Susan Smith, the South Carolina mother of 23, who committed filicide. I don't want to go into the details because I would rather not even discuss what happened, but if you're curious, you can go and search it out, where she took the life of her two children. It's so hard for me to understand. But sadly, filicide is not a new thing. It has been around for hundreds of years. You can read about it taking place many times throughout history. And there are incidents in the Bible where individuals who supposedly should have known better amongst the children of Israel, where they did that very thing as well. It was often practiced in ancient Rome, and it was acceptable in the eyes of the civil laws at the time to get rid of an unwanted child. Some have even done it in religious rituals. How blasphemous. How unrighteous. So wrong. Moses, a man who was born almost 500 years after the death of Abraham, who we're going to be talking about this morning, Abraham. Moses died, come along some 500 years after the death of Abraham, shared that God did not want this to be practiced. In Leviticus chapter 18, verse 21, God spoke through Moses to tell this to the children of Israel. You shall not give any of your children to offer them to Moloch and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. God told the children of Israel here, do not kill your children in any shape or form, and especially here in this verse is speaking in a way of some kind of ceremony unto God, and he specifically speaks of a false god. We believe he was considered the fire god of the Ammonites, Moloch. Some people in the process of their own, I think for you and I in the world we live in today, that's so abhorrent to think that was happening, but it did. And again, we have recordings of it in the scripture. Later, the prophet Jeremiah, after this verse, Jeremiah calls out the children of Israel for doing this very thing of offering up their children to this very false god. It did happen. And this, in part, was one of the reasons Judah was sent into exile, because of their reaction, their willingness to worship false gods, even to the extent of doing this heinous thing. But those of you who know your Bible are probably right now thinking, but what if? But what about? Well, we're going to look at that what if and that what about. Our main text this morning is in Genesis chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. Genesis 22, verse 1. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham! And he said, Here I am. Let's pray. Father, be with us. Help us as we pause and look into your word. Help us, each of us individually, be able to just set aside all of the things that's going on in our families, our work, our communities, our nation. Help us to just be able to relax, sit back, and allow your still small voice to speak to our hearts. Help us to see, Lord. Help us to gain something, and give us a willingness and a desire to walk out of here in honoring you with our actions and with our words. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. After these things, God tested Abraham. Now, I want to, so that we understand what's going on here, where we're at in the time frame of the Bible and the life of Abraham, I want to talk just a moment about these things that I think the writer here, Moses, is talking about. Again, if you know your Bible, Abram, at the time his name was Abram. God later changed it to Abraham, a name that meant father of nations. He was called by God to leave his own land, leave the area that he knew, and to go to a strange place. It was strange to Abraham to go and to eventually choose to honor God there in his life, and eventually he was going to be a part of not only a nation but many nations. God promised him that he was going to make of him a great nation and that he was going to be a blessing to many. Isn't that a wonderful thing to think that God would look to you and say, you're going to be a blessing? I hope you have that desire. We can, through Jesus Christ, we can be a blessing to those around us. Hey, God had told Abraham, you are going to be a blessing, a great nation. Now here's where you and I, when we consider these blessings and what it is that God has given to us, you and I slide into that. We receive those blessings. Paul said in the New Testament to the churches of Galatia, know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. Those of us here this morning who have proclaimed our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ have received these promises that was given to Abraham so many years ago. We are a part of this blessing. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that kind of amazing to think? So many years ago, God told that to Abraham. And obviously, Abraham didn't fully understand the extent of that. But you and I are part of that blessing. As we choose to put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we become like Abraham in the way that we respond to God. So Abraham and his wife Sarah have a son. It had been promised to them by God that he was going to have a son. And you remember there was kind of a comical moment there where he's wrestling around. How can this happen? They're of the age beyond childbearing. And I imagine some of you know that, excuse me, that people in the very beginning, we read some descriptions of people living a long time. Anybody remember how long Methuselah lived? He's the oldest recorded person in the Bible. 969 years. So there were individuals that lived a very long time back then. Why is that? I don't know. But that's what's recorded. But Abraham and Sarah here were at an age at that time she was specifically beyond the age of childbearing. Bible tells us that Sarah was in her 90s and Abraham was 100 at the time. So this was a miraculous birth. The Bible tells us that she was no longer at the point of where a mother could have a child because of where her body was at the time. But yet she still did. It was a miraculous child that God gave to Abraham. Abraham also has a child by a servant girl by the name of Haggai. Excuse me, and his name is Ishmael. Ishmael's descendants are Arabs, whereas Isaac's descendants through his son Israel become the nation of Israel. So there are many nations that come out of the life of Abraham. And after these things, God tests Abraham. And I want to tell you, we're going to talk about something this morning that had not happened, at least as far as it's recorded anywhere else, had never happened before and has never happened since. And I think I can say emphatically, it will not ever happen again. Does not, will not ever happen again. Genesis chapter 22, verse 2. And he said, now again, God is speaking to Abraham, take your son, your only son, Isaac. Now this is, again, the promised son that God said Abraham was going to be who he was going to bless, and the nations were going to be blessed through him, through Isaac. Now he says, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains on which I shall tell you. The land of Moriah, interesting, is also the place where the temple was built. It's also, it's thought that where this act happens was right actually where the Holy of Holies was at the temple. Now keep in mind, Isaac, again, is the son of promise. God's going to give him miracles through him. But what I find is interesting to me at this point is when you read this scripture, nowhere does the author record that there's a discussion between Abraham and God. Don't you find that interesting? How would you respond if someone said, go do this to your child? I'm going to tell you, I'm going to have a conversation. And I will tell you, you read your Bible, if you know your history, Abraham had a conversation with God about other things he didn't understand. You remember Sodom and Gomorrah, when God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham has a conversation. What about this? What about that? What if you do this? What if you find it? He's talking about how many righteous people they might find in those cities. Would you still destroy it, God? I just can't help but believe that he would have had a conversation. And for some reason, the author didn't record it. I don't know. This is my opinion. It's not in the scriptures. But I'm a human, right? Abraham was a human. Surely there was some discussion there, but however, it's not recorded. Abraham simply responds and goes on. He calls upon him to take his son Isaac and use him as an offering unto God. So again, I want to put you in the time frame. It's important for you to understand. At that time, there was no tabernacle. There was no temple. God had not yet given the laws through Moses to the children of Israel. So this was all happening way before that. And it was quite often that when people were making offerings unto God, it was honorable and it was right and good that they would choose to do it on their own. Quite often the head of the family would make an offering unto the Lord. This was practiced. Now later on, once the tabernacle and temple was built, God said no more. We don't want you all to go out individually and worship in your own way, in your own time frame. You should do it at the temple. It all should go through this. But up until then, God was still utilizing or going to individual families, and individual families would offer up sacrifices in different ways at different places. Let's read on. Verse 3. So Abraham rose early in the morning. He saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife, and they went, both of them together. And Isaac said to his father, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, God will provide for himself a lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went, both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Again, I want to pause here. Surely, didn't Isaac and Abraham have a conversation? Wait a minute, Dad. I mean, he asked him about where is the offering. He asked him that. Surely there was conversation here. I don't know why, but it's not. We're not told that. And again, I'm stepping out an opinion. I, But that's okay. It's okay for us to wonder and to think and discuss the possibilities. But surely there was a conversation there. Dad, what are you doing? But Abraham, you get this sense that Abraham was just, he knew in his heart, this is what's right, this is what's good, this is what I'm going to do. And I want to tell you, don't you want to have a sense of what you're doing in honor to God and by faith in your life is clearly God's will? Don't you want to sense that? Do you do? I do. With all my heart, I want to sense that. And clearly, you get the sense that Abraham knew. That's how clear it was in his heart. Well, I want to tell you, if any of you come to me and suggest God's asked you to sacrifice your child, I'm going to call the loony bin right then, without a pause, without hesitation. This is not to be redone. But at this moment in that time, God had spoke to Abraham in such a way that he just knew it. There wasn't any wallering around and thinking, and he wasn't attempting to go and chase out false gods and try to wish something to happen. He was doing what he knew in his heart, best way he knew how. That this is what God was asking of him. We read again what I said earlier in the beginning about the importance for us reading Scripture. Where are our sacrifices today? Now, yes, we bring our offerings to God. We give financially to God. That's one thing. But ultimately, our sacrifices unto God are what? It's our actions. It's how we choose to live our lives. We're not asked to go and kill an animal and burn it and do anything special or wear a special robe and do all these interesting things that God asked for them to do in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, Jesus clearly declares, we worship in spirit and truth. I can worship wherever I am, and what I'm doing should be honoring God. And my sacrifices that are pleasing to Him is living a God-honoring life, loving, caring people, honoring God with what I say and what I do. That is our sacrifices. But back then, again, we're even before the tabernacle and the temple. At times, and God was leading them to do it, they would at times offer up a sacrifice on their own, out in the woods. Something I believe with all my heart is not to be done anymore in any way, shape, or form. Especially not filicide, but secondly, even attempting to make some kind of offering unto God in any way. Jesus Christ was the only offering that needs to, the final and last offering in that sense that needed to be taken care of. So back to the incident with Abraham and his son Isaac. Verse 10. And Abraham reached out his hand. It just sent shivers down my spine. He reached out his hand and he took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. yeah, I'm here. Give me something new, God. Here I am. He said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Can you imagine the relief? Can you imagine? I don't know if you and I can fully get into that, to really sense that you're doing exactly what God has asked you to do, and yet you're torn between knowing at the same time it is the last thing that you want to do. At this last moment, he hears the voice basically telling him, don't kill him. Don't kill him. Verse 13. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and he looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. Praise God, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you. And I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. You and I are part of that. All the earth be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his young men, and they arose and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham lived at Beersheba. Can you imagine the celebration that Abraham had on his way back? Because he had realized that the thing that he considered most precious, that he was asked of God to give up, that he got it back. That he received it back. I don't think you and I can really understand the depths of the joy in Abraham's heart. If he loves his children as you and I, as we should, love our children, I think the celebration would have been the biggest celebration that Abraham had ever had. They were excited. I wonder, did Abraham tell Sarah his plans? I doubt that he did. Would you? Would you tell your wife? I don't know. Again, it's not in there. But I just can't help but think he did. He did not. Maybe many years later. Yeah, 20 years later. Oh, hey, by the way, I wanted to tell you something. Because I know, knowing my wife and knowing how mamas are, I would imagine there had been a knife in Abraham prior to his leaving.
Amen.
Yes. Ancient history. Right? This is ancient history. Why are we reading this? I know some of you think, and some of you probably like, I actually enjoy history, any kind of history. But some of us, we think, well, what's in it for me? What does this have to do with me? Something happened so many years ago. Why are we even studying it? It's the same reason we study anything in the Bible. As if you are willing to take a moment to read it, and ponder, meditate. What does this mean to me? How does this affect my life today? What value is it? I believe if we'll take the time to search it out, the Scripture, on a regular basis, again, not just this sermon, but throughout your life, I want to tell you, your faith will grow exponentially when you choose to begin to search it out for yourself. In the Word of God, we find nuggets that will lead us to find a life worth living, a life of purpose. And obviously, ultimately, a life that honors God. There's three things that I want to emphasize this morning. You shall not kill. Regardless of your wrestling as to why did God do this? Why would God ever ask of this? Those things, I don't think we'll ever fully answer it. But ultimately, we know the end result was he never intended him to take his life. Now, again, putting us in the time frame, the Ten Commandments had not yet come out. That had come out. Those were some around 500 years later when Moses was handed them by God. So you might argue, well, did they really understand death at that time? But I think they did. I think it was clear from the very beginning in the very first family, right? When Cain killed Abel, God was not pleased, and he made it clear he was not pleased. You shall not kill. Perhaps this is a way of showing the difference between serving the one true God and all the other false gods. Again, we're not told a lot about what all was going on in Abraham's family before he left to go into Canaan. But we clearly get the impression that there was a lot of serving of false gods. And again, as I told you before, we can read historically where people actually did these things. Terrible, terrible thing unto false gods. And perhaps it was a way of letting Abraham know and all others to say, that's not how you serve me. You don't serve me by going and doing such a dastardly deed. However, again, I don't know for sure why. But we can see clearly it was a faith-growing moment for Abraham. It was a test of some kind. Secondly, something that I'm sure Abraham was so thankful for, God will provide. Imagine if you know your scriptures and you know what Jesus Christ did for us, you can see a foreshadowing of a very clear connection between what Abraham was asked to do and what God the Father does eventually with his son in offering up a sacrifice. And some have even suggested this is referring to God will provide, and he did provide it that day, that ram and that thicket, but then also ultimately he provides his son, Jesus Christ. It also pictures for us the truth that anything God would suggest you offer up to Him, whatever He's going to give to you is going to be much more valuable in return. Remember, Isaac was a miracle given to him by God. Joe talked about the offerings here this morning and prayed about the offerings. I don't believe that we can outgive God. And whatever it is we give to God, understand it's something that He has at some point given to us. I've shared with you before my view of me giving an allowance to my children and them turn around and buying stuff for me. That's what's going on. Whatever it is that we offer unto God, whatever it is we choose to give of Him as a part of our life, whether it's out of our billfold or whether it's hours we spend shoveling the sidewalk, right? Mowing the lawn at the church. Whatever it is that we choose to give of Him, listen, I believe all my heart. Jesus at one point, speaking to the New Testament followers, said that, I think He said 100-fold, right? In some way, shape, or form, God is going to rain down upon us something so much more in return than whatever it is that He may ask of us to give. Again, this is not going to be repeated, what Abraham was asked of. But I want to tell you, He's asking of us on a daily basis to give up. To give up things that are either things that are dishonorable to Him, or sometimes it's something that's getting in the way of you truly to do something that is honoring Him. Maybe it's just busy work you're doing. Let me ask you this morning, our last and final point, what is your Isaac? I think I can say from reading the Scripture that at this moment in time, Isaac was the most precious thing to Abraham. He'd waited all these years. 100. All these years to have a child with his wife Sarah. And all of a sudden it was there. And you imagine how precious that little boy was to Abraham. If God were to look down upon you right now, if you were to simply ponder what it is right now for me is most precious, what would that thing be? What would you consider most precious? I would offer to you this morning that whatever that may be something that couldn't get in the way of you honoring God with your life. You really, truly giving yourself over to Him. Listen, I'm not suggesting that everything that you might consider precious, God's going to take from you. Don't misunderstand me. That's not what I'm saying. But when we allow something to be so precious for us, sometimes when we allow things to be precious to us, we can allow them to be so precious that it gets in the way of us truly following God. I believe God is testing us periodically in our lives in different ways. And it may be a small thing, but it's something in your life that is tripping you up, that is limiting your ability to truly honor God in a way that He wants to be honored. And ultimately, in a way, can you see what happened with Abraham? In turn, it came right back. It came right back in a way that was way beyond, I would imagine, what Abraham even fully understood. I want to tell you this morning, if there's something that you hesitate giving up, it may be the very one thing that you need to work with God and let it go of. Doesn't mean you got to burn it up, doesn't mean you got to throw it away, doesn't mean you got to stop it. But maybe you just have to need to have a different attitude, a different viewpoint concerning it. It may be something that's limiting God's blessings coming upon you. God responded after Abraham put actions to his faith. And in faith, he trusted that God's expectations were best. That whatever it was God asked of him was going to be better for himself, better for his family, better for his community. In the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews, we're giving a little peek of the possibility. Paul here, I believe, is the writer of Hebrews, and he's suggesting what he thinks maybe was going through the mind of Abraham in that time. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17 through 19. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises God had already promised him. Of course, God mentioned numerous times that these promises were going to happen. He'd already said it, and again, he reaffirms it at this time after he did this. But he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, "Through Isaac shall your offspring be named." He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. So in a sense, can you see, Abraham slayed his son that day. In a sense, in his heart, he did slay his son concerning his relationship with God. He said, "God, if this is what," in a sense, we see Abraham saying, "Lord, if this is what's in your mind, then I give it over to you. I give it over to you because I trust in you." Listen, that's the kind of trust that God's asking of us. He's never going to ask anyone to do this again. I just don't believe that at all. But I do believe there are things in your life that are getting in the way, that could be getting in the way, that will in time, as you walk this pathway, that will get in the way of you truly honoring God. And you're limiting His blessings that He wants to rain down upon you. Abraham, can I say wholeheartedly, Abraham was all in. Can I say that? Abraham was all in. My question for you this morning is, are you all in? I don't know what it is or what it might be. Again, as I mentioned that, maybe there's something in your mind that you know you wrestle with. Listen, I can tell you, I don't want this to be about me, but I can tell you moments in life, different things in my life that I had allowed to sort of be an idol, right? Something that I had felt that I had allowed to be too important, that's at times get in the way of me truly worshiping God and living a way that honors Him. Whatever that is, I want to encourage you this morning. Just say, "Lord, is there something? Is there something in my life that I need to let go of, that I need to put in a position where it's a less priority?" And if you sense that in your heart, listen, it's worth it. Spend time, struggle with God, meditate on what that may mean. What do we have this morning? Let's sing a song. Let's consider in our heart whatever it is that the Lord may be speaking to you about. Yes, Rena.
I have a correction.
Correction.
Something you said.
Okay.
You said the maid servant was Haggai.
Uh huh.
Hagar.
I'm sorry. Okay. Okay. Thank you.
So please stand and sing just as I am.
Seated.